Hello, I'm Alvar Andoin from Filmaru. I'm here at the Do Lectures with Andy Padikon, and we just heard his very inspiring talk here at the Do Lectures about meditation and how to get more headspace. Hello, Andy, how you doing?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah. Could you please explain to me what you do with in Headspace, please?
Yeah, so I'm one of the co-founders of Headspace. We set it up about just over 2 years ago now, with the intention of really sort of demystifying meditation, making it more accessible to people. And I guess my role within Headspace, within the project, is to present the content. So we're still a small team. There's about 10 of us, and I guess we rely quite heavily on creativity, on science and technology, in trying to make meditation more accessible to people. So the big team, or the team around me, is kind of there to do that job. And for me, it's just, these guys often joke that I'm the performing monkey, that they just wheel me out to talk about this stuff while they kind of put it all together in the background. So.
I guess you've done a lot of meditation yourself, and also, did you find that gap in this modern society? How did you feel that urge to create something to put in the pockets? Because you also have an iPhone application to help meditate, to find those 10 minutes a day to meditate. How did you find the inspiration or to do something like that?
Well, I think when I left the monastery and when I came back to the UK, I was really keen to teach people to meditate, but I kept coming up with the same kind of obstacles, I guess, and that was people didn't have time to do it. They didn't want to sit down on the floor to do it. You know, they had sore knees and all this kind of thing. And so it was just kind of, it was really just out of a necessity. Kind of, okay, how do we try and kind of make this work? And actually, it was when I met Rich here, who's the other co-founder of Headspace. And we started talking. And it was really useful because I still came at it a little bit with a monk's perspective, you know. And it was Rich, of course, comes from a very different background, worked in marketing a lot. And I think just hearing from him what he was willing to do, and talking to friends and mates down the pub, you know, what they were willing to do, that started to kind of help orientate where it was going to go. And it was like, okay, well, it's never going to work within an hour, so Let's start with 10 minutes and see where it goes. And interestingly, since then, the science, which around meditation, has shown that even 10 minutes a day makes a difference to the physiology of the brain. So we're not talking about just kind of dumbing down here. Like, there's still kind of tangible physiological benefit of taking 10 minutes out of the day.
Yeah, but as you say, the society is offering us like these quick addictive fixes that we heard about them today, you know.
Yeah.
And they are the fast train to town, possibly. But I don't know. Maybe we are in the moment of people are being. Don't you think that we are in the moment of people? I am aware of this big change that a lot of us are noticing that we want to do something about it, about our consciousness and being aware of being able to change from within. I mean, considering that there is a lot of suffering in the world, but starting a change within us?
Most definitely. You know, I see a massive shift, even from when I finished my time as a monk, maybe 8 years ago and now. I think the financial crisis, I don't know if it was a result of that people started to think differently, but certainly that had a big impact, I think, on the way people assessed their lives and started to look at what it was they were chasing after in their life to try and satisfy and fulfill them. And I think when you see those things disappear so quickly overnight, it gets you to question, right, as to whether that's really a sensible thing to chase after and have there as some kind of goal or ambition of happiness. So, yeah, I think absolutely more and more people are questioning what they're doing, why they're doing it, and trying to, yeah, maybe reconnect with that. Like, so the idea of blue sky we're talking about in there, you know, that place in our mind where it's free from all the busyness, the distraction of everyday life, where we're not overwhelmed by emotion, and where we can just experience life as it happens, which is quite a rare thing for most people, I think.
Being myself a very visual person, I really appreciated all the visuals that you you helped us navigate through what meditation is, which I find rather difficult, or I don't find it somewhere else. So I think the power of visual storytelling in this case, you have a really good point there, because it's sometimes meditation is always like images. We are creating images in our mind. Yeah. So I think it really helped me to understand what meditation, the practice of meditation, or wanting to practice more through the visuals and the analogy that you made, or the metaphor of the sky and and the clouds.
Excuse me. Yeah, I think when when Rich and I started talking, putting together, you know, all the analogies and the metaphors that I used, the ones that were given to me by my teachers, and when I was learning, and when I explained them, or when I sort of talked about them with Rich, you know, he said, like, immediately it kind of cut through, like, a lot of the misconceptions that he had. And then it was the next stage of that was, like, well, just imagine if we could kind of create a visual image of that, a picture of it. And it's amazing. I think in a minute and a half animation, it can probably kind of explain what could potentially take 30 minutes at best, but quite often things that people struggle with for years, like a minute and a half, it just cut, and it's like, oh, okay, that's what you mean, you know. And it still amazes me, and that really is, it's down to Rich, and it's down to the kind of the team, the creative team that have put together those illustrations and animations.
Yeah, I mean, we don't read anymore, or we read, but we read in a very different way. Everything goes very fast, and definitely that video helped me to understand more, even though I have practiced a little bit, helping to understand more about meditation. So I really invite people, or I'm selling already your business, but definitely I would recommend maybe visit the website headspace.com.
It's getsomeheadspace.com, and the app is Headspace on the go. It's available for iPhones and Android. And you know, even if you just go there to have a look, Take 10, the program, which is 10 minutes for 10 days, that's free. It's free on the app, it's free online. And if you go online or on the app, you'll find those animations, the one you were just talking about. You can watch those for free. You don't even have to start the program afterwards if you don't want to, but just to get a sense of what it is we're talking about here, you know, what meditation is. So
There might be some people that could be listening to this. I hope they do audio as well. Yeah. I know a lot of people do audio as well. Yeah. Well, that may think that, okay, you are living like meditation, which is a little bit more personal and it's a bit more like quiet, making a business out of it. What do you think of that? I mean, or did you have any? I'm sure that you're passionate about what you do and you show that. But what do you think of people that may think that meditation is, this is only a business around meditation, like? Yeah. Like another self-help contribution.
Well, yeah, I think it's a really interesting idea. It's something we talk about a lot, in so much as I would say that the meditation is quite different from self-help as it's known and recognized in the West. Self-help, I think, very often offers up there's a problem. This is the solution. If you pay me some money, you can use my solution and get rid of the problem. And meditations are not really kind of like that, actually. Meditation is not about getting rid of a problem. It's about seeing the problem, or what you think is a problem, differently. It's about getting some perspective, getting some headspace. So as a starting point, I would absolutely say meditation is a little different from self-help as most people know it. As to whether it's kind of right to charge money for it and that kind of thing, you know, whether it's just a business around it, well, we see Headspace as a social enterprise, and we see it as an incredible opportunity not only to raise awareness of meditation and to encourage people to meditate, but also to raise some money for some really good, interesting projects that we care about and that we're passionate about. So it's not just Headspace. We have a charitable foundation called the Headspace Foundation. Mm-hmm. So the money that's generated through Headspace either goes back into creating the tools and techniques that everybody kind of uses, or it goes into the foundation. So we feel like we've got a business model in place, which is actually very current. And I think it's an increasing trend anyway in business, that actually it's not enough to have a business just to make lots of money for yourself. I don't think that's really kind of valid anyway anymore. It's more about how do we have a project, a business which not only serves a purpose and provides a service, but which generates kind of funds for things that we feel passionate about.
Well, I think that's a lot, actually. So I would definitely invite to anyone who will be hearing this through the feeds of the Dual Lectures to go and visit your site, guys. And thank you very much. I think we heard the sound now the last speakers are going to stage. So thank you very much for your time. And I know that you are getting married. So congratulations, and I hope everything goes all right, Andy.
Thank you very much. And yeah, thanks for taking the time out to come and talk to me as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.